God is good.
All the time.
Wow. I'm going to show you a video. Today, before I do anything, today is the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. It's a day that nationally we celebrate the sanctity of human life. There was a Sanctity of Human Life March in Washington, D.C. on Friday. And there were thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people that showed up for that.
In the snow.
In the snow. We had clear weather. They had snow. Snowing like crazy down there. But they were all there and marched for the sanctity of human life. Grace Christian Fellowship, we believe in the sanctity of life, human life, from conception to natural birth. We believe that God wants us to care for all from conception to natural birth. I do want to say before I get into this message and the video I want to show you, that if you're here today or if you're watching online and you have had an abortion, I want you to know that that is not the unpardonable sin. I'm going to tell you that right straight up.
Amen.
You can seek God, and God will forgive you for it, and He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness.
Amen.
So I want you to know that right from the get-go. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And I am just as guilty as anybody else in walking in the flesh. And I have walked in the flesh. I have a gazillion sins in my life. And God has forgiven me from every single one of them. And I am blessed to know that God didn't say to Matthew, I forgive you for every single sin that you did except for that one. See, there's not an except for that one in the Scriptures. The only one in the Scriptures that says that blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And abortion is not that. So I want you to know that God forgives you, 100% forgives you. And the child that you had is in the palm of His hands. So I want you to know that. We do not condemn, we forgive. And we will do whatever we can do. If you are that person and you still haven't healed from it and you need healing, then I want you to know we commit to you all of our resources to bring that healing to pass. Okay? So with that, I'm going to show this video. That thing shut itself off. We have always, Grace Christian Fellowship has always supported the right to life. We support the Pregnancy Resource Center. We did for many years the Pregnancy Resource Center in Keene. But God has directed us to start supporting branches center in Brattleboro. So we have now, starting January 1, our support from here goes to them. And Kathy's my personal support is now going to them. So we just want you to know that in our missions giving here at Grace, that change has happened. All right. And Gene Davis, who is the director of Branches Pregnancy Resource Center in Brattleboro, is going to be here next Sunday to talk with you about what you're supporting over in Brattleboro. She couldn't be here today because she just got back about 3 or 4 o'clock this morning from Washington, D.C. She was one of the main speakers at the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, the March for Life in Washington, D.C. And so she was hanging out with people like Greg Laurie and all those. But she's a powerhouse, and you'll find that out next Sunday when she comes. So I'm going to play this for you. The first is two videos, but only about 2 or 3 minutes each. The first one is just an introduction to Branches Pregnancy Resource Center, and the other one is just the development of life in the womb, and it's really beautiful. It is beautiful. Oh, I'm sorry. These are all babies that were born because of the ministry of Francis.
And your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations. And your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations. Children and their children and their children, may his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children, may his presence go before you and behind you and beside you.
Get it there. It's difficult to watch something like that, that second video, and not get teary-eyed, realizing that there was a day I was like that in my mother's womb. And I am so glad that my mother chose life. Some people weren't so glad that she did, but I'm glad she did. Turn with me, please, to Psalm 139. And as you turn, I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you for this word. Lord, you have ministered to us in profound ways already this morning. And I do ask, Lord, that you will, through your word, give me the version of this word that you want given at this hour, in Jesus' name. Father, I present to you myself. I am a living vessel that has a lot of cracks and crevices. I'm far from perfect. But shine yourself through my imperfections, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 139, I'm going to read verse 13 through 16. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they are all written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. Today is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. Sanctity simply means holiness of life, to be set apart as different and unique. All life is precious to God, and man is the most precious of all. He is the creator of life, and our very origin comes from the heart of God, and it is his creative power that sets in motion you being formed in your mother's womb. The mother's womb is to be the safest place on earth. It is in the womb that pastors are formed, presidents are created, doctors and nurses and police officers, and yes, even dentists are formed in the mother's womb. Carpenters are formed in mother's womb. Roofers are formed in mother's womb. School bus drivers are formed in a mother's womb. Every single one of us have a specific calling of God on our life. So your occupation is not necessarily your calling, but it is the avenue that your calling can exist and flourish. Being a school bus driver, how can my calling of God flourish as a school bus driver? By loving every one of those children, including the ones that are not loved by anybody else. That is a special calling. The womb contains the creative power and authority of the Almighty God. No wonder Satan works so hard to destroy what God creates in the womb. In 2022, abortion was the leading cause of death in this world. All other reasons for death combined does not add up to the amount of abortions done in this world. This does not include natural death. In 2022, there were 73 million abortions in this world. That's 200,000 per day. That is 5 abortions every 2 seconds. In the time it took me to read Psalm 139, 13 through 16, which was about 30 seconds, I timed it, 75 babies died just in that time. Now, I'm giving these not to shock you, but to bring us into reality. This is a very, very real thing. And it has been incorporated in our society for so long that it is easy, even for Christians, to just see it as an issue. When it's not an issue, it is human life. Heart disease killed 18 million people. Stroke, 6.6 million. Lung infections, 3 million. Lung cancer, 1.8 million. Diabetes, 6.7 million. Road accidents, 1.4 million. A total of that of 37.5 million deaths in this world due to those things in 2022. It's just a little over half of the total amount of abortions that happened in this world in 2022. Turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 1. And I'm going to run through this very quickly. All right? In Luke chapter 1. Guess what I didn't do? Gail Parker, you know I'm preaching right now. Okay. By the way, if you have a cell phone, we would appreciate it if you would silence it. The pastor said so. Luke chapter 1, verse 39. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to the city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb," as she was speaking to Mary. "But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." I chose this scripture just to simply show you life in the womb. John the Baptist and Jesus, the first time they met each other was when they were in their mother's womb. And it said here in Elizabeth that John the Baptist leaped for joy. I can't imagine what that must have been like for Elizabeth. Whoa! To experience that. But if you are a woman and you've birthed children, you've experienced a child in your womb moving and jumping. I remember, I think...
Not usually jumping.
Not usually jumping. Well, I know Lauren was. I'm sure she was jumping in her womb. But I know that Kaylee, when she was in her mother's womb, and Kaylee, I remember one time, Lauren was over... We were over at their house, and she was showing me the movements in her belly from Kaylee, and Kaylee was like very active, and that hasn't changed yet. Very active. I saw her foot come up, and you could even see the toes. You know, she was pushing so hard, and you know, the baby, Kaylee was going like this, like that, and Lauren was going, and I was going, whoa, just amazed at this. And yet this happened. Jesus was in his mother's womb. John the Baptist was in his mother's womb, and yet there was an understanding that happened, a discernment that happened between those babies that are, it's just nothing short of miracle. But life is a miracle. Every life is a miracle. Elizabeth proclaimed, "Blessed is the fruit of your womb." And the anointing that was placed upon the fruit of Mary's womb was absolutely incredible. But I believe there's no different than the anointing that is placed on every pregnancy. No matter what the reason for the conception happening, and sometimes it's been a very, very ugly thing, but that child is still ordained of God and has a special calling of God. That's right. That's right. Does not determine their value. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, I really want us to see this. See, it's one thing to stand for life or to stand for abortion. But many people, they make those stands based on their opinion. But see, I want to base my stand on a biblical stand. What does the Bible say? Because sometimes the Bible will contradict my opinion. Anybody else ever find that out? That the scriptures will violate or will contradict what your opinion is? So then you have to ask yourself a question. Am I going to allow my opinion to morph over to what the Bible says? Or am I going to try and cherry pick a verse here and a verse there to substantiate my opinion? So I want us to see what the scriptures say. All right. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Okay, so God created Adam and Eve. He created them, he said here, male and female. He made no mistake about that. He made them male and female. And he blessed them and gave them their very first commandment. What was the very first commandment? Be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. It was the very first commandment. Now, it says that in Genesis verse 31 of Genesis chapter 1, then God saw everything that he made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. God looked and saw that all of this creation was so good. But there's a key here that I want you to see. If you look in verse 26, excuse me, I want to go up to verse 24. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures according to its kind. Say that, according to its kind. Cattle and creeping thing and the beasts of the earth, each according to its kind. Say that, according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind. Yeah, you can say it if you want. And everything that creeps on the earth, according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. But then God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Let them have dominion over everything that was created in its own kind. Why? Because Adam and Eve, mankind, was created in the image of God. So we aren't an animal kind, we're a God kind. You understand that this morning?
Yeah.
See, if we were just animals, then abortion's not going to be wrong because there is no morals if we're just animals. Because if we're just animals, we're not created in the image of God. God didn't have anything to do with it. It just happened through evolution. And if that is the basis of belief of evolution, then what? Abortion's not wrong. But we're created in the image of God and in His likeness. And we are, and as we procreate, as the animals procreated, they created after their own kind. We create after God's kind. You see, it's a big difference between the two. Turn with me back to Psalm 139. In Psalm 139, I want us to make this psalm very personal. This was written by King David. And David was being very, very personal in this, but I want us to personalize it as well. For you formed my inward parts. You, O God, covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Let me tell you something. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Most of us get up in the morning, and we go into the bathroom, and we look in the mirror, and we go, ugh. You know, I go and I look in the bathroom mirror now, and I look at myself in the mirror, and you know what I'm saying now? I said, boy, you're getting old. We go, we don't like what we see. That's why we do something with our hair if we have it. You know? And we may exercise and do whatever we can to get rid of that spare tire. Women will just do their hair up really nice and put all the stuff up on their faces and all. And I remember an old preacher once said, he said, ain't nothing wrong with putting a little bit of paint on the old barn. You know?
Goodness.
It took him a minute to get it. That's because he's an old man. You know, and we do. We do these things. Why? Because we're not really satisfied with how we're made. And I'm not saying that makeup is wrong. I'm not saying exercise is wrong. I'm not saying that those things are wrong. But what I am saying is that we need to understand that we are created in the image of God. And we are to procreate after God's kind. Our children are an heritage from the Lord. Our kids need to know that they were created in the image of God. Hallelujah. I am created in the image of God. I will praise you. Verse 14. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. It doesn't matter about my opinion of that person that's looking back at me in the mirror at 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning. Or 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. Whatever time you get up. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. This is what I want you to do. When you get up tomorrow morning and you look in the mirror, before you do anything to make yourself prettier or more handsome, I want you to look in the mirror and I want you to point at that person that's looking back at you and say, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I will hold myself to that standard this day. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am not an animal. I am in the image of God. I am His son or I am His daughter. Hallelujah. I want you to do that tomorrow morning. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Skillfully wrought. You know what that means? That means God made you exactly the way you are. He didn't, you weren't born on that day that you were born when you came out of your mother's womb and that doctor handed you to your mother and your mother may have looked at you and went, what is that? Your father went, oh my goodness gracious. But God says, that is fearfully and wonderfully made. I skillfully wrought. I skillfully made. I skillfully fashioned this little babe in the womb. You know, God did that to Jesus. In Mary's womb, God the Father skillfully wrought, skillfully fashioned Jesus in his mother's womb. And when Jesus was born, God looked at Jesus and said, this is my son. You know, Rob, when you were born and your mother was holding you or your father or whoever, you know, God was saying, that's my son. That's my son. This is my daughter. This is my son. You were only 4 pounds?
4 pounds, 2 ounces.
My goodness, they started giving you fear, miracle grow right off the bat, didn't they? Wow.
My brother was 20 pounds.
My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. This is very important. When they try to determine when life begins in the womb, to try and determine when it is proper to, or okay, or morally justifiable to end that life, or to allow that life to continue, and they're trying to find that place, and I'll tell you right now, nobody will listen to the scientist. The scientist will tell you that life begins when that sperm enters that egg becomes fertilized, life begins, right then and there. DNA even says that. Everything that you are right now, all the information for who you are right now was contained in that egg and that sperm when the two joined together. All the information was right there to form you the way you are today. It is amazing. It blows my mind. I was skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. God had a plan for your life, and he had a plan for my life before my father's sperm made it to my mother's egg. God already knew. He already had a plan. He just had to time it right. You know, my mother and father were married 16 years before my mother got pregnant with me. 16 years. They went in and they gave up. They ended up adopted three. And then I came along. I blew it out of the water. Then my brother. And then my sister. You know, every time my mother and father held hands, my mother got pregnant after that. But there had to be a specific time for me to be conceived so that it would bring me to the place where I am right now. God orders the steps of the righteous. How he does that with me, it blows my mind. It blows my mind even more to think that he does that with each and every one of us.
Yes, he does.
He's ordered your steps to be here today to hear this word. Why? That's between you and him. You saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they are all written. The days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. Praise God. Are you hearing the voice of the Lord this morning when it comes to the sanctity of human life?
Yeah.
You know, in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, if you would look at that for me, with me. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. God saying to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. What is God saying to Jeremiah? before you were even formed in your mother's womb, before that sperm and egg got together, I had a plan for your life. And before you were even born, while you were being fashioned, while I was fashioning you in your mother's womb, as Psalm 139 tells us, I sanctified you, I set you apart for a purpose. I ordained you as a prophet to the nations. Hallelujah. I was ordained as a pastor in that time frame in my life when I was just being fashioned in my mother's womb. It's beyond my understanding. And yet, our society does not understand every single one of those children that are aborted in the out of the womb, that are murdered. That's what it is. In all reality, that's what it is. You know, they go, we have this thing of cancer that we just can't find the way to cure it. And God says, I'm going to give you a baby. It's going to come into this world that I ordained to find that for you. And you killed him. You aborted him. How many answers that God has tried to give us through people. You know God answers prayer through people?
Yes.
You realize that? He sometimes really does use you as an answer prayer for somebody else. And yet, but we end that life before that life has a chance to realize the calling that God has placed, the anointing that God has placed, the wisdom that God has placed upon that child.
Right.
So we as a society cheat ourselves out of the very answers we want because of self-centeredness. You know, and I know sometimes that self-centeredness is you know, like an unplanned pregnancy is, I don't know what to do. I can see it, I hear it in women's voices, you know, at a total loss. That's why places like Branches Pregnancy Resource Center exists. And those pictures that you saw of all those babies that have been saved from abortion through the years, and there's so many more. I'm going to wrap this up because I know the hour is late. The devil is doing everything possible to further his agenda of death. John chapter 10, verse 10 says what? But the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come to give life and that more abundantly. Satan uses Planned Parenthood. Satan uses government officials. You know, back I think it was 2019, the then New York Governor Andrew Cuomo would not sign the 2019 budget into existence unless it would provide the provision to expand abortion to include up to birth. Up to birth. And they did. That, yeah, but, in New Hampshire right now, they're trying to make it a constitutional amendment to allow abortion up to birth. You can contact the Judiciary Committee and voice your concern about that. I have. But the tide is changing. Since Roe v. Wade was overturned in 2022, what the federal government did was they just returned it back to the states. It now was not a federal mandate to allow abortion. They turned it back to the states, so the states now individually have to deal with it. 14 states right now have severe restrictions on abortion. 22 states are moving to ban or further restrict abortion. So that's 36 out of 50 states. 36 states now are addressing it in a way to bring it much more narrow and hopefully close it off. That's pretty good. We didn't have that before 2022 when Roe v. Wade was in force. So I say all this to say what? I am pro-life. Kathy and I are pro-life. We could not have children for whatever reason. And I don't understand it. When I look at scriptures that says, you know, blessed is the man that has a quiver full. And I went, and I even, that was one of my complaints to God. God, you know, you say, blessed is the man with a quiver full, and you won't even give me one arrow. Not one arrow will you give me. I did that to him, to God. Not one. He says, okay, then I'm going to give you two. Through adoption. And you'll be glad you stopped at two. Because those two are going to be like having seven. Because, you know, that's what a quiverful was, traditionally says seven arrows. I couldn't imagine seven Lorens and John Matthews. I couldn't imagine. But the fact is that God did open it. We did our part. One of the stands that the world says is you Christians, you stand for life, but you don't do anything about the baby. And that's not true.
It isn't.
The vast majority of babies that are adopted are adopted into Christian families. But the statistic you won't see.
No.
Kathy and I adopted two. Both of those, if you understood and knew what their birth mother's life at that time and over conception of John Matthew and Lauren, they both should have been a statistic. But we thank God that those two women chose life.
Amen.
Twice. Number one, they chose to give life to the baby in their womb. And number two, they chose to give that life into the hands of somebody that would raise them and love them. And I remember when they were put in our hands. And I did say, what am I going to do with that? I did. I didn't know. It was a big learning curve for Kathy and I. But I stand for life. And I also stand on this fact also. If a woman has had an abortion, God will forgive. You simply need to come to Him and seek His forgiveness. And His forgiveness is just, and His forgiveness is right, and His forgiveness is full. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for a congregation that sticks with me through something like this message. The hour is much later than it usually is, but Lord, you have no timetable.
That's right.
To you, a day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. So, Lord, I pray that you would continue to speak to our hearts. I pray if anyone who is watching online has struggled with this, with the understanding of why is abortion so wrong, that they would have a deeper understanding today, simply because of your word. We praise you, Father. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to worship. I want those of you who are first-time visitors here, we have a fellowship time afterwards in the fellowship hall. And stick around. Get to meet us, that we get to meet you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Peace that surpasses all understanding and will guard your heart and your mind through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If you need prayer, come on up.